Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Nothing beats a rambler, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Christopher Speller. Luke Aaron Moore's over there.
All right.
Jim Campbell's over there.
Hello.
Edward. Edward. And Pete Donaldson.
Aaron Moyer.
Yeah? You famously don't have a middle name, Peter.
Infamously.
Diggory.
Yeah. Diggory.
Well, that was
Diggory,
what it was.
Marmaduke Fairfax Donaldson.
I've heard he's changed it to Dubravka.
Is that right? More on that later. I didn't know your middle name was Edward.
Jim. Yeah, well, there you go.
That's quite a fancy name for a commoner, if you don't mind me saying.
Jim? Well, I do mind you saying. And I have a dueling glove that will show you so.
James Edward Campbell would suggest that you should own some sort of castle in Scotland.
Yeah, well, we do have our own castle, the Campbell clan, Castle Gloom. It's very real. And it's actually the anniversary of the massacre of Glencoe tomorrow. So if you are a MacDonald, gutted.
Don't bring that up.
Are you just renting the castle out at the moment?
No, yeah, I don't own it. I have nothing to do with it. There's a lot of us.
I had a McDonald's yesterday to celebrate.
Yeah. I went for the big one, didn't you?
I went in there and said, I'm only in here because it's the anniversary of the Glencoe massacre and I want to show some solidarity with the McDonald clan. Big Mac, grand Big Mac meal, large, please, and 20 nuggets.
You do tie up a burger.
I didn't have 20 nuggets.
No, but you do have chicken nuggets and also the burger as well at the same time.
Yeah, I can do. Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever. My rationale for McDonald's has always been
that you're terrified that any other food is poisoned.
Yeah, that I don't. nothing else tastes as good. No, is that if you're going to go in there, don't go in there and fanny around with carrot crunchies. Get down into the trenches. Eat as much food as you can.
I had KFC last night, 10 spicy wings, two corn cobs and some fries.
Celebrating the Newcastle.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
No chicken, gravy.
No chicken that's been well raised has 10 wings, mate. You have some ethical choices to make.
Where on earth did they get that? Right, enough of this fast food nonsense. Let's move on to the Premier League.
Direct.
And where else to begin, ladies and gentlemen?
PT's on the pod.
PT's on the pod.
And he's happy. And he's happy. And he's happy for once.
You were unable to give any negative spin on yesterday's win on WhatsApp, Pete. It was surprising.
That's a new thing.
I missed Tim Krul.
I
said I missed Tim Krul, but that was before the match. And that was like,
right.
Oh.
Now you're like, Tim who?
Tim who the hell?
Yeah.
Tim, forget about that guy.
Tim, it would be cruel to bring him back.
Pete's genuinely happy, everybody. Although you did say that it should have been more than one, didn't you?
I did not say that.
It probably should have been. Should have saw it off.
Should have had a bloody penalty marker spell. I'll tell you what, the officiating was dreadful
at
times.
Which one was that?
On the edge of the area.
Oh, in the first half.
In the box.
Don't worry about that. You won the game.
No, Newcastle should have got a penalty for Smalling's dive. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
Oh, my goodness. It's fair to say everyone at St. James's Park had a lovely old Sunday afternoon.
It was so good, Marcus. Like, every single player played really well. Or even if they didn't play very well, they bloody gave it some. Yes. They were magnificent.
The crowd were living every pass and every ball.
It's been a long time since they've won at home.
I had an amazing time watching it. It was so good.
It's been a while since, well, maybe it hasn't, but to see St. James's Park really rocking like that was wonderful. It really was
great. And to see the Shelf, the Johns, bossing the Pog.
Diarmé as well.
Yeah.
Like, after all the criticism he's had.
By me, mainly. I hate Mo Diarmé, but the last five matches, he's been really good.
Pete and I had a conversation about it, and we decided that he must have been doing dry January.
He's had a great January and February.
That's probably it.
He's turned over a new leaf.
Is he not always dry, Mo Diarmé?
I don't know.
Well, Mo Diarmé played in the first half of the season like he was a drunk.
Right.
Like, that's just constantly smashing into players, kind of falling over, not really grabbing.
Oh, you think you're better than me? Telling rubbish jokes, laughing at them.
All right, the non-drink of the pod, having a pod. I just have a good time.
He knows all our secrets.
I see you all in action, remember that.
And then tell us all about it the next day.
I'm like Rafa Benitez trying to get you all to play.
We've all found your blog.
See what happens when you all sober up.
Can I say, just while the opportunity arises, that I know that Rafa Benitez gets called a fat Spanish waiter by fans of other clubs. Mm. He's not helping himself with that waistcoat.
No.
And it's a roomy waistcoat as well.
Very roomy.
Very roomy.
I'd like to see him in a white blazer.
Would you
and with a black bow tie, because that's quite waitery, very up.
I'd like to see him with elite. Chuck Blazer.
The tea towel over his arm.
Damn right.
With his tactics on it.
He should really, really kind of stereotype himself.
Can we get back to Newcastle's fine performance against Manchester United?
Well, actually, as well. Hang on. Talking about Rafa Benitez in his wonderful whisket.
Weren't they brilliant?
They were.
Weren't Newcastle brilliant?
Unprecedented.
It's so good. I enjoy myself so much.
I mean,
for the last half an hour, I was physically sick. But I mean, it was.
But that has nothing to do with the football. That was probably to do with the 10-winged chicken, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. If I was a Man United fan, I wouldn't be very happy with the way that Mourinho appears to be absolutely phoning in his job as Man United manager. Yeah.
And then smirking at the end and stuff. You just sort of go,
I find it quite weird when Mourinho is beaten in a game like that, and clearly is very angry with his players. Mm. And then just kind of, as you say, smirks, because, you know, it was, Newcastle were like it was a beautiful performance. And then tries to kind of become a neutral and jump into that narrative where all the football family celebrating.
It's like when Klopp says, oh, it's a great match for the neutral. when he's won.
Yes.
It's you've got to win first before
you can
be... But
Mourinho's saying...
When it happens and Klopp's team have lost, he's like, you've never seen football before. You've never seen football before. And walked out.
It's absolutely mad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I'd take issue with what you said, Marcus, partly because I don't know if Mourinho actually is that angry anymore. That's the point. Mm. If I was a Man United fan, I watched that performance, and maybe we'll come on to a bit of their shortcomings in a little bit anyway, and then you see Mourinho behaving the way he behaves, and then the post-match interview, he's unshaven. He doesn't make the effort. He says that Newcastle's win was a beautiful moment. It's like, hang on a fucking minute, mate. Yeah. Yeah. You're a manager of Manchester United.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Whether he's actually angry or not, it's the fact that he's saying the wrong things. If you're a Manchester United fan, you've just seen, you know, your back four are pretty piss poor. Pogba's struggling to fit in. And Mourinho then starts going, oh, well, you know, it's all right.
Well, the thing is, though, this is him sort of trying to sort of wrestle the narrative, isn't it? And just, like, take it away from his team by making it all about Newcastle. But even when you can see him doing it, like, it still works, this sort of thing. Because we're having that conversation now.
We're calling him out on it.
We're not. We're having the conversation.
But is it going to make a real difference? This is what everyone's talking about.
I think you're underestimating how much this podcast influences the game of football.
You can never overestimate
it. It was us that ensured that the World Cup went to Qatar, of course. But going back to the actual game itself, I mean, it was nice that, Benitez gets one over his old sparring partner, Mourinho. But Newcastle themselves, an unlikely hero in Martin Dubravka from Slovakia, of course.
Or if you look at the back of the shirt, it's Dubravka.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
The ear was like heading for his elbow.
It's like it was done very last minute. You're going to pick who? Okay. Can you write that down?
Can we rearrange the old Rule Fox shirt we had?
Can we put Dubravka can
we just make him iron it on himself?
Yeah.
It's a strange one, isn't it? This is actually a more lovelier story than one might think. He's on loan from Sparta Prague. He's 29 years old, 9 caps for Slovakia. Previously played in the Slovakian League, Denmark and Czech Republic. Only 11 appearances for Sparta Prague since signing in June 2017. You know, he's not a kind of... He's not had a glittering career.
No, he's a seasoned journeyman they've brought in as literally a safe pair of hands, is
absolutely.
It? It's a real punt.
He's 29. He's a 29 international goalkeeper. 29
that's my point, I think. If he was, say, 22, you'd think, are they trying to get him in because he's got a lot of potential? You know,
got enough of that in the goalkeeping squad. Anyway, when he first got announced, I was like, why are we going in? It's the least of our problems, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, fundamentally. You know, each keeper's good for a ruck every few matches and to drop a ball or something, but... It's rare that you see a performance like that on a debut for a goalkeeper, and it's only one match, but he was excellent.
It was a very confident performance. He played like a sweeper as well, which is presumably what Benitez wants, and is why he went after him. The transfer completely passed me by. I didn't see it at all. Mm. I didn't know it happened even.
Well, they tried to get Joe Hart, and that was rejected.
Is that true, though?
Apparently, according to reports, Newcastle tried to, or at least inquired about Joe Hart, and West Ham said no.
I thought it was a great performance by Newcastle. I think... Just going back to what you said about Pogba, I think it's obvious he's got to play in a three, Pogba. I don't know why they're playing him alongside Matic there. It doesn't work for him. He has to play in a three.
They play in a three, or like with Juventus, he often played on the left side of a diamond.
Right.
Essentially, Pogba has to receive the ball on the half turn and have space to move into. Mm. You play him as a number 10, he gets congested, doesn't like it there. He's obviously not holding midfielder. Mm. He is the type of midfielder, as you say, that... a number 8, really, if you want to get into, you know, shirt numbers and all that kind of stuff. And that's how he plays. And you wonder, when they signed Pogba, did they sign him because they wanted a big marquee signing and just the sake of it? Because when they got in Mourinho, I think Pogba came a little bit after, you know, fairly soon after. And I, going back to it, you think, well, the way Mourinho plays, does that player fit in? Now, then you talk about, you know, signing Alexis Sanchez. Now, is he getting in the way of some other players that they're going to play? You wonder if there's a bit of joined up thinking there.
I don't think there is. I think there's an element of United that they're just flat track bullies, really.
Yeah.
And I know that the fact that they were beaten by Newcastle would, in some sense, undermine that point. But overall, if you look at the games they've lost this season, to me, they look like flat track bullies. And Pogba is much better in a three. I'll take your point about where he played at Juventus. They've got the personnel to play a three in midfield. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they just didn't choose to do it again against Newcastle. And Newcastle dominated them. And with respect to Pete and the Geordie Nation, I mean, that shouldn't happen.
I don't think they necessarily dominated them. I thought in Diame and Jonge, that I thought they played very well, better than they usually do together. Mm-hmm. They were a lot more hard tackling. Jonge, he's not a great defender, but he piled in a couple of times. Mm.
There was some precision and slide tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
From him.
Shelby was fantastic.
If you've watched Newcastle all this season, they're really good for a last gasp goddamn slide tackle.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as Sanchez took that extra touch, I thought, he's given him someone yeah. time to slide in. If you're going to play Newcastle, a bit of advice for any striker who's going towards a Newcastle, just give yourself another dummy, like one more than you think, because someone will have slid in by then.
Yeah.
Because that's all we do.
Well, but usually, though, advice to a striker playing against Newcastle United is you will get chances.
You will get chances.
You'll get chances. And if you miss one, another one might come along.
Or Dwight Gayle might be on the line.
The advice would be stay patient.
Yeah. is that a legacy of the Pardew slide? Even now, is he influencing everything good that happens at Newcastle?
Sliding.
Marcus, what about a quick word about the back four that Man United started with?
Yeah, I mean, industrious is not a word you'd use to describe them at the
moment. I find it absolutely baffling.
I mean, Shearer and Phil Neville took them to task.
I didn't see that. Was that on Match of the Day?
On Match of the Day too. They were very unhappy with Smalling and Jones, and you would have to say, I mean, Smalling has come under criticism from his own manager, and this is a player who some people thought was a starting England centre-half. I don't think he'll go. I don't think he'll be on the England jet.
Apologies if I repeat what they said. But I didn't.
No, but we didn't see it. We want your hot take.
My hot take is that that's not a hot take. I don't think he'll be Smalling. 28 now. He's not an improving defender. He's not ever gonna reach the heights that maybe
Jones has got more in his locker.
Maybe, but he needs someone decent next to him.
Mm.
And I find it absolutely baffling. And I know they've been okay or even good actually on occasions this season, and they started the season well. I find it odd that they start with Young and Valencia at fullbacks, given the money they've got at their disposal, the pulling power of a club the size
quite
of United.
Like Valencia at fullbacks.
Young had some matches at the start of the season. Yeah,
they did.
They're
both 32. And actually, if you think about it, there aren't really that, if any, other options at fullback for United, given the way Mourinho's conducting himself. He doesn't want to pick Shaw, who's a specialist left-back and is young. Doesn't want to pick him. He bigged him up again midweek. Didn't pick him.
But I think for a game against Newcastle, he expects to be on the front foot and push the fullbacks up like wingers. That's what he's thinking against Newcastle.
But my point still is that they're both 32 years old,
yeah.
and the depth in that position is dreadful. I mean,
the other option they've
got of Blind, who's not really a specialist left back.
Darmian,
who doesn't seem anywhere near the team at the moment. Lindelof, who seems like more of a centre back anyway,
when he
plays. Baye can technically play right back, but
they are missing Baye.
Yeah. What is Paul Dummett's
release
clause?
He's not right back anyway, though. No. Yeah, exactly. They should go after Dummett.
It's worth noting they've conceded the fewest goals in the league. So
yeah, no,
I mean that is fair. That is fair.
That is absolutely fair. And I'll say I'm not without they're not without merit. Those players, that back four, are not without merit at all. But to me, it doesn't look anywhere near the sort of inspiring level of a back four that you'd want from a side like Man United.
No, but I you're right. I think that their problem against Newcastle was going forward. It is that midfield.
Matt Ritchie, mate.
Matt Ritchie with his first goal.
Geordie Nation.
Of the season. I was quite surprised at that because he's a player. He's got a good hit on him.
Mm.
And he's pretty creative.
That was a very tidy finish, I thought.
It was very satisfyingly slick, wasn't it? I think the good thing about the whole thing as well, especially with the goalkeeper coming in on his debut having such a good performance and such a sort of big marquee win, is that it brings back some feel-good factor, which disguises the fact that absolutely nothing seems to be happening with a takeover. So that must be,
it brings back a feel-good factor, which Ashley will squash
outspent
within
by
days.
Outspent by Wrexham.
That's the name of Mike Ashley's autobiography. And it's good that Dubravka would have presumably got his Sports Direct mark for his debut.
Absolutely.
Not they dish out a cap.
Absolutely.
Dish out a cap, it's a mark instead.
Oh, isn't football brilliant?
It is.
And by extension, the football ramble.
Indeed, yeah.
And by extension, me.
And Lascelles and Lejeune at the back. That's how you defend the Alamo.
I bloody love it.
What did you make of Chris Smalling's dive?
Lovely.
He's silly.
Very odd.
He was expecting contact and he went down. Well, he knew he'd messed up because he got up straight away, didn't he? Because he was like, as I thought it was going to be.
That is quite indicative of Chris Smalling at the moment, according to, again, his manager. When Mourinho was furious that Smalling said that he was too injured to play one week, and Mourinho was like, but you know, you're fine. And it was that thing that, was it Lovren or somebody said, you know, if you're always waiting to be 100%, then you'll never play.
Yeah.
And so with Smalling, he looks a little bit soft at the moment, and with one or two comments from his manager and in the media. And you look at that dive and you think, you're not doing yourself any favours there. Like, come on, you have to be tougher than that.
Mm.
Or make better decisions. You know,
You're right. They do miss by eight, but at centre-back, not at full-back. And
yes.
I think they need full-backs. Options at fullback to push these two that are already playing. And I was very uninspired to see that lineup. I might be wrong. I'm sure Man United fans will let me know, but I'll be surprised if they're not feeling the same way I was.
Do you think they should have won with that forward line? Come on.
Yeah, but that's the point.
It's mad, isn't it?
I talk about them being flat track bullies, and that they didn't beat Newcastle, and they would have been expected to beat Newcastle. So maybe I've undermined my own argument there. But to me, I saw them against Spurs. I was at the game. Spurs are a good team. We know that. Spurs absolutely destroyed them. Mm. I know it was only 2-0, but it could have been loads. At Man City, they were beaten by them, and Man City went by miles better. I think United have lost to Chelsea in the league this season as well, haven't they?
They've got Chelsea next.
They're a team of individuals. You can't just chuck Sanchez in there at however much he's getting a week, which I suppose isn't that relevant, but just expect him to go and do it. Oh, he'll win games for us on his own, and play Pogba in a position that he doesn't relish. It doesn't work.
They look like an unfinished Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not coherent.
It baffles me endlessly when I look at the league table every time I have these thoughts and see that they're second.
I
don't think they'll finish second.
I think it's almost as if before the season, Pep Guardiola's looked at Man United's squad and he's looked at those deficiencies, both at, you know, centre back and full back, and gone, right, let's inflate this market.
Yeah.
Little present for myself in a year.
Indeed, yeah. Are we ready to move on, Peter? Have you any more? I mean, this is a big moment. Remember, this might not
you might not get another this season.
Yeah. Bournemouth next week, so, yeah. You know.
Okay.
They look great at the weekend.
But isn't it a bit of a P-tick that you can just win one match and you go from relegations on to like 13th? I mean, the bottom half of the table is a toilet at the moment.
Maths is your problem now. Turning on maths.
It's just nonsense, isn't it?
What you're saying, Luke, about Manchester United in second, it is strange when you look at the league table. And it's also strange for me personally to look at Spurs in fourth at the time of recording, because obviously Chelsea haven't played West Brom, and if they do, Spurs will be then in fifth. But the way Spurs are as a team and the way they've been playing in a few matches, notably Manchester United and Arsenal, which we'll move on to now.
They look easy, the second best team. Yeah.
And people will talk about how the league table doesn't lie and all the rest of it, and we'll see what happens come May. But
it told a big old lie the other year when Leicester won the league, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Don't you'll incur the wrath. Be careful.
I don't care. They're still celebrating.
But you'll incur the wrath of Ranieri and Bocelli.
soon we'll all be hugging,
but
though.
I don't think there can be any doubt that Man City are the best team in the league, but I think Spurs look the second best team just in the way they play and the sort of cohesive and coherent unit that they are. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens come May, I suppose.
I mean, if there was ever anyone in doubt about the North London rivalry now, I mean, Spurs are firmly the best side in North London. It's happened. And sadly for Wenger, it's happened under his watch as well, you know. Mm. But without getting into all that, Spurs, they were excellent. Should have won by more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although Arsenal had a couple of chances with Lacazette at the end, particularly the one which he played just wide of the post.
I don't know if you saw Aubameyang coming in, and also given the situation there, I don't know if he would have wanted to pass through. It's an interesting bit of psychology there. But I think what was really interesting, this game, because, you know, Spurs were clearly by far the better team in the second half in particular. It looked like it could go either way in the first half, but they won the game just by being very, very tactically astute. Their offside trap was held so well that it just nullified Arsenal's threat on the counter. Mm. And that just took the sting out of them so much.
I thought Arsenal started the game in quite a disciplined fashion, which suggested to me that Wenger was almost admitting that Spurs are a better team.
They tried to contain Spurs.
And they did that quite well for a bit, didn't they? But then it ended up being quite a one-sided battery, which is weird even to think that it was even 1-0. But the I wanted to sort of reserve special praise for Moussa Dembélé, who is he is absolutely fantastic as a midfielder. I know I'm not saying anything new, I know it's been said before, but I still think he's underappreciated. And I think if we talk about, for example, Wilshere, so if Wilshere can play at the top of his game and he can do something for England, it'll be great. I mean, not that it really matters to compare them for any other reason, just for the sake of conversation. Dembélé is like head and shoulders above someone like Wilshere. It's so easy to overlook just a player in the centre of midfield that does everything absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like an absolute tank, but he's so strong.
He's so good on the turn.
He's so good that he makes the right decision all the
time. If you were at Manchester United, would you not say to Paul Pogba, all right, okay, you're not having a great time, look at Dembélé, look at the way he plays. Not exactly the same player, I admit, but there's a lot of similarities and a lot of the jobs that they have to do.
Well, they're asking Pogba to be the complete midfielder, aren't they? That's the role that he seems to have been tasked with. And obviously, you know, Dembélé could certainly score some more goals, but it's the range of what he does is what's so impressive. His range of passing, the speed of thought, the speed of passing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was absolutely excellent yesterday. He just really ruled that midfield.
He's one step ahead all the time.
Yeah, but Dembélé was played often as a number 10 when he played at Fulham. It's hard to think of him playing for Fulham now.
Yeah.
But he did. He played further forward, and at Spurs, he's gone back and perhaps took a little bit of time to adjust. But my goodness, I mean, he is one of the best centre midfielders in the league at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal are still, you know, a fairly good team. I mean, they're one of the better teams in the Premier League, of course. and they hung in there. I mean, they could have snatched a point at the end. That would have been an absolute injustice, but they could have.
Funny old day for Peter Cech as well, because he kept Arsenal in it, but at the same time, he had a couple of wobbles, and obviously he had that one against Swansea recently, and it's a strange one. Because it feels strange to criticise him after that performance, but when you look at those wobbles, you wonder how much confidence the back four have in him, or back five, however it's being played. And if you're not confident with the goalkeeper behind you and he's not confident in you, which appears to be the situation with that defence, then, you know, of course you're going to be all at sea. And Arsenal's problem is how they respond. In a situation like that, particularly away from home, when they go a goal down, the chaos comes back in. Like, the shape seems to disappear.
Petr Cech's wobbles aren't wobbles, they're paradiddles. Because he's a drummer.
It's true.
That's a good point. Mm. Would you fancy Joe Hart at Arsenal?
Stop trying to sell people Joe Hart.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of his summer.
When you said you had a new job, we didn't know it was Joe Hart's agent. I don't think Petr Cech is it's not a revelation. I don't think Petr Cech is the keeper he was. I said at the start of the season, got a lot of copped a lot of flack from Arsenal fans.
He played
quite well at the weekend.
I have a feeling that he will, that Ospina will start the League Cup final and probably get a run in the team after that.
Right, but it's just strange that a man with such experience just started, you know, just messing up every now and again. It just seems so strange. Like, you usually see like mobility and kind of, you don't see from decision making all the time.
It might be that when he was at Chelsea, if he made a mistake, something would happen. That's probably the difference.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Fair enough. Wenger said afterwards that Arsenal couldn't afford to lose the match. They're sixth, 9 points behind Liverpool in third. And 7 points behind Spurs, who are currently in fourth before Chelsea play West Brom. I mean,
the Europa League is so important now. And obviously, Aubameyang can't play in that. And Lacazette's head is not in London.
Yeah, Jim, so, do you have an opinion, presumably you do, on this idea we talked about just after the transfer window, where we talked about Arsenal potentially having, on one level, having a good window. And then I came in and said, well, actually, it's quite a poor window because they've strengthened in areas I don't need to strengthen, and they've not strengthened in other areas that they should have done.
I don't know if it's even strengthening. It's replacing what's going out.
But and it was laid bare, wasn't it, against Spurs, who were by far the better team. And then Arsenal's ability to change it was quite limited with the players they had. Because if they brought Lacazette on, which they did, it meant moving one of those players almost to a wider position, which they're not as effective.
Well, Ozil and Mkhitaryan were out wide for most of the game, which is not where you get the best out of them.
And there was no real option to... I mean, that midfield of Xhaka, Elneny and Wilshere, with the greatest respect, isn't going to challenge a Spurs side
not very dynamic.
In the form they're in. So, yeah, it was weird how they didn't bring themselves the option of doing something a little bit different in that midfield area in January when they clearly had the funds to spend... Mm. On players.
Well, Lacazette's body language is very, very telling, isn't it? He doesn't look happy at all, and you can understand why with Aubameyang coming in. But this is the danger, isn't it? We're in an era now where you can have this sort of thing happen and it's cost you 50 million.
Oh, no.
50 million quid. And then if you are, you know, there's talk of Lacazette leaving in the summer, because obviously we said before Atletico was the first choice. It could well happen. But if everyone knows that this is the situation, they're not going to offer you a similar fee. You know, they're going to knock you down.
But ultimately, in summary, we're just talking about these teams at the start of the show to this week. I mean, we talk about Man City and Spurs being the two standout sides in the league, and I understand Man City are above Spurs and by a distance, but they are the two standout good teams. And it's no coincidence that every single player in that squad under the manager knows what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Arsenal, Man United and Chelsea, you could argue, is that really the case? I would say not.
Certainly not. We are going to talk about Huddersfield and Brighton and Stoke after this.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I deeply regret the comments I made.
Don't we all, David? It's time for correspondence with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for correspondence from
Is it
Pete
just going to be
Donaldson.
That sort of thing from loads of Newcastle fans?
It's a Newcastle theme special.
Yeah, there's no Newcastle supporters, I think, emailed in this.
Still pissed.
They are still pissed. Hello to Anne Moll. Anne Moll. Evening, lads. Australian time. My undisputed highlight of the weekend has to be Charlie Adam appearing on Sky Sports' The Debate, arguing that Stoke need to capitalise on their opportunities to avoid relegation. Only to hilariously go on and miss the crucial match-winning penalty just days later.
And
he's called him, actually, Anmol has called himself your favourite ramble from down under.
Okay. Oh, there's a fair few.
Adam also did a really good job of not following up that penalty as well.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
Jerry and Qatar. Hola, Ramblers. That's somebody else in that. Following up on everyone's irritation last week when talking about the lack of punishment for cynical fouls used selectively to break up play. I think that was me yapping on about that. In Gaelic football, apparently the authorities that be, the GAA, introduced the concept of a black card. The black card because the ref held up his notebook rather than a card for cases where a yellow card was not deemed deterrent enough and red card a little bit too much. So he has to be substituted.
Okay.
You get a black card, you have to be substituted. So you lose
what an angle.
You lose the player, but you're not down in numbers.
That's great.
That's not a bad little idea, is it?
I'm quite interested.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Motion passed then.
All right then.
next week.
See you next week.
Enjoy the Premier League next week.
Hello to Aaron White. He was the Holler Rambler guy. I was writing to inform you about something I've been noticing in the last year or so whilst watching the beautiful game on the BBC. There always seems to be at least one follically challenged presenter in a lot of cases too. Since I started to notice this, I cannot unsee it. Every time I tune into Match of the Day, Football Focus, or even Final Score, Alan Shearer, Dion Dublin, or Danny Murphy is there, presumably taking a job from a pundit with flowing, luscious locks, such as James Horncastle.
Well, don't forget Hartson as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now I know what your next question is going to be. Where's the hard data? And I've got some for you. On the 27 Match of the Day episodes I bothered to look up, there were only 5 episodes that didn't feature at least one pundit who was lacking in a furry dome piece. This means that a staggering 80% of episodes featured a baldy. Of the 25 episodes, 9 featured 2 of the smooth-headed bastards, which... If my U in AS maths is correct... How did you get a U in AS maths? Come on. A 36% double-headed chance of a baldy.
Yeah.
So the what's the end game?
Smooth-headed bastard.
Okay. So what's the end game in all of this? Who's behind it? Is Gary wearing a wig? I guess we'll never know. Your sincerely, Aaron White. P.S. Yes, I am currently unemployed.
let's get this man a job.
Is that because he's got hair? That's why he's on the show. We're all quite hirsute here at the Ramble, so maybe that's why we're not. One of the many reasons we're not giving the Match of the Day.
I think one of the only reasons, Luke.
I'm getting there. Rafi Mendelssohn. A lot of Israeli based.
Don't kiss another man's hat last week
about the kippah. As a kippah wearing a long standing Ramble listener, I simply had to clarify the respectful versus not respectful debate about kissing the Jewish garment. Is a hat a garment? Is that allowed?
So.
I can think of no greater honour than if the tradition of kissing the kippah was instituted in stadiums across the league, Barthez style.
See?
Football is already connected with the kippot, which is the plural of kippah, as many young boys have them in their local team colours. My own five-year-old was distraught when he lost his Tottenham kippah somewhere in the house. Jewish men are not known for being tall, he says. Maybe this is God's intention all along to make it easier for the aforementioned tradition.
There we go.
Oh, I remember
what we take away from that, if you see one, kiss it.
Yeah.
Instantly kiss it.
Always kiss a man's hat.
If you see a man in a hat at a football ground, just kiss it. I remember Todd Barry talking about the kipper, and there was this guy walking around, and he had a watermelon design on it.
Ooh, cool.
And he said, if God's okay with you doing the watermelon design kipper, I think you'd probably be fine with you not wearing one at all, to be honest. If he's that freewheeling about it.
But it looks better to have one.
I would rather put like a slice of watermelon on my head, yeah, or a full watermelon. I
have seen you do that.
Cross-section, yeah.
Running around with a big watermelon on your head screaming, it's my helmet, it's my helmet.
It's my helmet, it's my helmet. Being chased by some wasps.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are we done?
We're done.
Oh, do you know what?
Shortthefootballramble.com.
I was enjoying that. I hoped you had another one.
You never know what you're
always leave
them
wanting more.
I do have another one, but I didn't read it out. Do you want another one?
No,
let's quit while we're ahead.
I'm just happy the wasps are away from your helmet.
It is about Tim Sherwood.
Oh,
come on,
then.
Hit us with
James.
That.
Hello, James. Just had the pleasure of hearing none other than Tim Sherwood reminisce about the days when he used to pretend to be an artist under the Charing Cross Bridge to woo the ladies.
Yeah, I saw this and I was surprised to hear about this. Yeah.
It's so strange.
I didn't hear about this.
Apparently, tell us everything.
Apparently, I've read the email I meant.
Apparently, his long blonde locks really sold the lie.
Apparently, Tim Sherwood used to paint underneath Charing Cross Bridge.
And you were going to leave this out?
Yeah.
Tim,
yeah,
Dim, but
very
Dim.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, apparently his now wife called him out on it, asking him to draw a picture of her.
That's strange.
Anyway,
isn't it?
For an opportunity to win a Tim Sherwood original, answer the following question.
He painted under the bridge. And of course, the Red Hot Chili Peppers wrote a song about him, didn't they?
I did. Yeah.
Under the bridge. Now then.
It's about heroin. Yeah. Oh,
it's about a hero.
Tim Sherwood's like heroin to me.
The broken promise.
We can't get enough of We can't get enough of him.
With Tim, I'm just chasing that in the original high.
I never painted this bad ever.
Oh, I haven't never jacked up this bad ever.
No, hey, naughty. Very naughty. Now, oh, that was last week. Right, let's talk about Huddersfield. They managed to stop the rot with a confidence-boosting win over Bournemouth. It wasn't just a win, it was a confidence-boosting win.
A penis was seen.
Yeah, penis was seen. Let's get to the real stuff.
With apologies to Huddersfield, who put in a fantastic performance, and all the Huddersfield fans loved it, and good for them. Box ticked. Pete, you're the penis correspondent. A penis was seen. Who was it? What was your impression? What can we learn from it?
Was it as big as yours?
Well, I've done some studies. I think we can discount the Jewish members of the squad.
Yeah.
But would you kiss him on the hat?
Is the question. Who knows? Could it be anyone? Lovely little swing on it. Good size.
Yeah.
We had a long discussion on the WhatsApp group. A good size.
Yeah, I agree.
Lovely little swing on it.
There's a thigh tattoo involved. Because the thing is,
it's a thigh tattoo involved.
Yeah, well, because
no
one knows who it is. Surely it's really easy to find out.
Okay, yeah.
Oh dear.
It was absolutely fantastic to watch.
Yeah. Good swing.
It was a great development
over and over again.
Yeah. I can't believe Huddersfield fans must be gutted that their 4-1 win was overshadowed by one of their squad getting the old chap out.
I think most people it wouldn't be, but on this show,
bit of showboating though.
Yeah.
You should do that more often. Yeah. Just like,
get
imagine
your out.
Yeah, no, at the end of the game, Newcastle should have just like done a lap of the pitch, willy copter in.
I'm for that.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. But it was a good win. It was a very, very good win. Huddersfield lost their previous 5 matches, so it was a vital one. And as you say, Peter, you know, a win suddenly takes them out of the relegation zone. I mean, they're only a point above Southampton, of course, but it changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, having lost their previous 5, one win and boom, they're out of the drop zone.
It really mugs off West Brom as well. West Brom are like, even if we win against Chelsea tonight, it's still going to not look that great.
Indeed. I found this quite interesting. Kickoff was at midday and there was a little bit of talk about the coaches from Bournemouth with the fans in leaving at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's almost like the league and the TV networks and everything don't care about the fans.
No, I mean, I very much agree with that point, but it doesn't take that long to get to Huddersfield, do you?
Well, they get there early. Right. Pub opening.
True enough.
Yeah. True it's Sunday, enough. Isn't it? Sunday jolly.
Yeah.
Come on.
Get the fry up, then.
Don't sit there looking like you don't know what they're talking about. Come on. You've been there.
Indeed, yeah. Aaron Moy back in the side for Huddersfield.
He played well.
Got a point to prove. He'd been dropped to the bench, having had a great start to
the season.
I thought
he did okay, yeah.
Well, it was interesting because he was so good for them early on in the season, and then suddenly he was out the side, and people were thinking, hang on, he was one of their best players. Obviously, Wagner knows what he's doing,
yeah.
But brought him back when he was hungry. And
was,
my goodness,
it was
also he was
brilliant. Good to see Alex Pritchard do well because he obviously opened the scoring and looked decent. I saw him play for a Spurs youth team a number of years ago and he looked a standout player in that age group. And I was sad to not see him make the grade at Premier League level because, of course, he moved down to Norwich, wasn't it, after spending a bit of time on loan. Awesome. Of course, Huddersfield took a chance on him for a decent amount of money, from what I remember. And he did very well. I was pleased to see him back.
How was that second goal from
Meunier?
How was that not given as him, as his goal?
I think it was, wasn't it?
No, it was given as an...
His second goal was given as an own goal to Cook, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't see the angle quite right. Because Alan Shearer also said that was a bit harsh.
Right, okay.
I thought he should have...
I like Meunier. He started very brightly, didn't he? I thought he might be on for a sort of pretty sort of high-scoring season. And it's done all right. I think he's got 8 in 20, something like that.
Yeah, but he's doing okay. Well, there was a little bit of... a little bit of an argument over who was to take the penalty.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the penalty because he thought he was on a hat-trick, and that was the point, that one of them was given as an own goal, so it wouldn't have been a hat-trick anymore.
Okay,
seems
right.
to happen with every penalty now.
It's ridiculous.
You can't have a penalty without some sort of row. And it was started by Swansea under Michael Laudrup in the League Cup final. Do you remember?
Yes.
And was it Dyer and
Nathan
someone else?
Dyer, I think.
And someone else
was on a hat-trick.
Bit of a row about it. And
I forget who took it.
It was a Dutch player. I forget his
it
name.
It was a Dutch player,
anyway,
yeah.
That's where it all started. Dyer.
Well, I'm sure it started.
Penalty dispute origins.
Well, I'm surprised, and that leads us neatly on, of course, to Stoke versus Brighton, which had an amazing end to the game, so frantic. But it's true, for my money, oh, there was one at Chelsea, I remember, when Frank Lampard...
And Benteke, of course.
Yeah, well, but that was this season. I'm saying that if you're going to go back and start remembering a few from yesteryear, then I remember when Drogba wanted to take the penalty, and Frank Lampard said, no, I'm having it, and it was a crucial game, because Lampard was the penalty taker, and he put it away. Now, for me...
But Lampard just dismissed him, didn't he? He was very sort of single-minded about it. He just sort of gave him the brush off. There wasn't a proper route.
But someone like Lampard can do that, I suppose. But I found Paul Lambert's comments after the game quite interesting, because they're Stoke City with a penalty. Now, I would have thought Charlie Adam was the penalty taker. He can hit a dead ball. Okay, he missed the kick, I know, but he can hit a dead ball. But the last thing you want is a little bit of arguing before a penalty. You don't want the penalty taker to be put off or somebody to think, oh, I fancy a goal, and you give it to Saida Berahino, and of course he misses. whereas Paul Lambert said after the game, normally a manager would say, you're the penalty taker, you have them. I don't care what he's saying. You know, we remember old Diego under McLaren in at Wolfsburg, was it?
When
he took the ball off the designated penalty taker and hit the bar. So you want somebody to step up. And again, Luke, it goes back slightly to your point, what you said about Spurs and Man City. Everybody knows their jobs, and that is a job to do on the pitch. If someone gets a penalty, you know, he's taking it, he's there. And if he's not there, someone else. At Arsenal, I believe it was always between Pires and Henri, wasn't it?
Henri didn't like taking a penalty if he'd won it.
Yes, so whoever won the penalty wouldn't take the penalty, whereas some sides... In the point here with Stoke, with Hesse, he won the penalty, therefore he thought he was entitled to take it. And then there's a little bit of argy-bargy, and then you get a funny old situation like that.
I wouldn't be as relaxed as Paul Lambert was if my team was second bottom in the Premier League.
Well, that's what I mean.
Just missed out on 2 points at home.
I'd have been right pissed off.
Well, Ryan Shawcross said after the game, we're all professional athletes and it's a bit childish. And I mean, the mixed messages there.
Exactly.
You know, it shows you that clearly...
But there is no clear message. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. Who's taking the penalty?
Yeah, it should be,
if you don't
should
have
so
an answer,
basic.
There will always be... Lambert said, if you're confident enough, go up and take it. Well, you might have four players that are confident enough to go up
What
and
about
take
Dunkey?
Well, Lewis Dunk, what a tackle.
Yeah.
What a...
Adam let him.
Charlie Adam, I think the ball came back to him and he was thinking, oh, that's a bit of luck. He's dropped for me really nicely and I can just... Oh! Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
I love... He got slam dunked.
He said, that's a bit of luck. It's fallen really nice for me and I can just about win a corner from it.
Which I'll shoot from.
Yeah, I love that. It's so petulant, isn't it?
Don't worry, I'll make amends.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, he nearly scored. When I watched the highlights, and he shot from the corner. The keeper needs a dive to save it. It was a great effort.
He scored directly from a corner before, hasn't he, in the Premier League, Charlie Adam? Maybe for Blackpool?
That was when one of the classic bits of one of my favourite ever Sir Alex Ferguson moments when Adam was tearing it up for Blackpool and Liverpool were in for him.
Oh, that's right.
And then he was asked to make a comment, Ferguson. Obviously, he wanted to just stitch up Liverpool as much as he could. And he went, well, those corners alone are worth 15 million. Just ramping the price up. He basically only just stopped short of like gazumping them with a bid, just on principle.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, but I absolutely love
image
how he
rights.
I love how he shot from the corner.
But he shoots from everywhere. Do you remember when he scored? I think he scored from way far out. But yeah, and it was when he was at Liverpool, and they showed it back in the context of Jamie Carragher punditing on the game.
And they
put the camera on Carragher at the time. He was playing and he was on the pitch at the time. And he's going mental at Adam. Because apparently he just would not stop shooting in training and in games. Yeah. And Carragher used to get pissed off with it. And one of them he actually scored. Carragher looks like an idiot because he's
But
he's
for someone like Carragher there, you're almost annoyed that he scored. Because actually he's there for...
He's going to blow another 15 chances.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I did enjoy it. But Matt Ryan, brilliant penalty save. And then, of course, had to dive and save the corner, which was hilarious.
So rare that you see that angle of save.
Yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean? Going the wrong way and then hitting it with a trailing arm.
Somebody shooting from a corner, really deliberately. Because sometimes when a goal goes in from a corner, you think, was that just an in-swing? They put it in on the keeper. He deliberately shot from the corner. As you say, a keeper diving to save it. Seldom do you ever see. That might be the first time I've ever seen that.
I mean, that couple of minutes had more than the Swansea-Burnley game.
Yeah.
I think as well.
It was a nice goal from Key, come on.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
it was. But there was only one of them.
Right, okay.
With Brighton, I think that centre-back partnership and to maybe to a slightly lesser extent the goalkeeper, that three, Duncan, Duffy and Ryan, it's really important for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Duncan, Duffy both been really good this season. They've got a good understanding. They seem to start every game. They're both available. Whether Brighton stay up or not is going to rest quite a lot on them because they don't score a huge amount of goals. Mm-hmm. And I thought they did well at the weekend.
Well, of course, if anything gets past them, like the resulting corner did from the melee that ensued, Anthony Knockhart will have it off the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. It was like chance after chance.
Oh, great.
And then you think, oh, they've got it through and Knockhart's there to flick it off the line. It was, oh, breathtaking stuff. One of my favourite ends of a game, I think, all season, actually, damn it all. But there we are. Right. Oh, we've got, blimey, we should say Izquierdo scored another lovely goal.
Yes, he did.
Little 1-2s up the pitch. He's coming to his own recently, hasn't he? So well done, that man.
Left the ball in the back of the net by nature.
There we are. let's move on to the Championship, gentlemen, because the second City derby, as the commentator kept shouting out during the game,
happened. They never shut up about that, do they?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know, trying to just keep Manchester at arm's length for that one, the second City. But Birmingham is the second City. Aston Villa won the Birmingham derby, of course. They're up in second. We haven't spoken much about Villa this season, and apologies, Villa fans, because they've been having a decent season, and they're on a run of 7 successive league wins. So we thought, we'll just wait until they win the derby, and then we'll mention. So I think you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish, man of the match. He is playing very well, which is great to see, because as we all know, however long it was ago, a couple of seasons ago, he was on the old hippie crack and all that, wasn't he? And
so I think because Villa are genuinely a big club, and he was hyped up very, very, to a large extent very early on because he's a local boy and he's on the record as saying he loves Villa. And
the way he looks and plays.
Also, as well, people were talking about England immediately.
That's what always happens, yeah. And he's been given a chance, really, at Villa in the Championship to maybe a little bit less of a spotlight on him. To an extent, I know he's still in that part of the world. He's going to be focused on. But I saw the game. I thought he applied himself really well. He's one of those players that he looks a cut above when he's on it. And that assist he laid on for Odoma was fantastic. Thought he was busy, did everything right, and maybe he just needs that. He's needed that season or two in the Championship to toughen up and to learn a bit. I mean, we talked last week, didn't we, about how Harry Kane really values that experience he had in the Championship and how it made him the player he is today. So we might see the same with Grealish, but with a player who's that type of football player and is still young, there's going to be inconsistencies because even players who play that way at 28, 29, 30 have inconsistencies in their game because
it takes risks.
It's a mercurial position.
Exactly.
So I think he's growing really nicely. And based on what I saw, I haven't seen an awful lot of Villa this season, but based on that game, I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, nice to see him. Well, I know he's had a terrible week and poor old Steve Bruce, his dad died, of course. But on the wider point, going back to sort of Aston Villa and where they are in the league, Peter, it's lovely to see old Stevie Bruce riding high in the Championship.
On a hangover, I did not need to see Steve Bruce crying on the touchline.
Out of order.
What do you mean?
Oh, because you're upset as well.
Yeah, because I'm upset.
Yeah, yeah.
Emotional.
Uh-huh.
But, turn it off, am I?
Can't turn it off and on. You said that to me before. I've had many a late night beer. I think the woodwork was hit 5 times in that game. If you include the finish off the post.
Yeah.
You can't ask for any more than that in a derby.
No.
You can't.
Exciting. Worth the ticket alone.
John Terry had a fight. You can't ask any more than that.
He had a slip that nearly cost
you. You can't ask any more than that in a derby.
Oh, Jay Tedder.
Ascending off. You can't ask any more than that in a derby.
Was it? And a great goal from Hourihane as well.
Oh, yeah, it was a lovely
beauty.
One.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Marcus, that type of ball is really nice to hit.
Oh,
yeah. You get your knee over it. Give it a good old whack.
We all know that, don't we, Jim?
So they tell me.
Yeah. Comes up so often.
It would be incredible, though, if Villa come up again. And they'll be well-equipped. This is the thing. They have a lot of Premier League experience,
isn't
they?
Will John Terry stay? Because he said he didn't want to play against Chelsea, didn't he? He said part of the reason he went to the to Villa was that he couldn't see himself playing against Chelsea in the Premier League. So.
I wouldn't be shocked if they got promoted, Terry would think job done and then maybe retire.
I thought you were going to say what, and Chelsea got relegated.
No, but my goodness, you know, what a great thing to have on your CV. You know, you went down, played for a huge club like Aston Villa, got them back up to where they should be, and you ride off into the West London sunset, you know. Wonderful stuff. But yeah, I think Villa, they're certainly on for it, aren't they? And it would be great for them if they got back up. And as I say, already equipped, you would think to yourself, if they got back up, very good chance of staying put in the Premier League. But all to play for, of course, in the Championship, as it always is. Paul Heckenbottom, the wonderfully named, lost a local derby in his first match in charge of Leeds United. It was to Sheffield United. It was rather amusing in the Said and Done column. They had a little quote from him days before taking the Leeds United job saying, you know, I'm happy at Barnsley. It's a great community club. I'm really proud to be here. You know, then obviously
Oh dear!
A few off days later, off he goes. But Billy Sharp up front for Sheffield United scored his 200th and 201st league goals in English football. Yeah. His first was one of my favourite goals in recent weeks. Yeah. Very satisfying
acrobatic volley. Yeah, it's beautiful. That's the goal of the weekend.
Yeah, he's a real. He's had a great career, Billy Sharp. He's moved around quite a lot and so on, but always scored a fair few goals. And I think he's, what is he, late 20s now? Maybe even around late 20s, early 30s, certainly.
I think he's 30, early 30s. He's also had a lot of difficulties in his personal life as well.
Well, he has as well, yeah. But you know, it's great to see him scoring goals in the Championship again and to get that milestone under his belt.
He had an amazing season the season before with Sheffield United's promotion season, didn't he?
That's right.
He was flying then. But yeah, good for him. Yeah. I didn't actually see the game, but I rate Sharp. I think he's a great lower league goal scorer.
That's what I mean. He's a real kind of...
If you consider the Championship to be lower league, I mean a non-Premier
League. Football league, you'd say.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done it all in many of those divisions. Before we go to an ad break, we have to go to 23rd place Sunderland. They're involved in one of the comebacks of the season. 3-0 down away to promotion hopefuls Bristol City with 20 minutes to go.
Not a problem.
Got themselves a point.
Yeah.
Equalising deep into injury time. Oh, it was manic.
Are they turning a corner?
Are they turning a corner, Peter?
Well, it's something for the Sunderland away support, who are very good to enjoy.
Stop making that sound.
Very good. I mean,
usually a thankless task.
Well, when you say they were very good, I mean, they booed their side off at halftime and were and were singing to some of the players, "You're not fit to wear the shirt."
Yeah.
And presumably, they weren't chanting that when the third went in.
And you've got to get from Sunderland to Bristol. Have you ever tried doing that, Marcus?
You need to get up at 1:30 a.m.
the day before.
two of Sunderland's goals were.
No, I know what you're saying.
Two of Sunderland's goals were own goals, weren't they, as well? Yeah. That's a spectacular shoot yourself in the football from Bristol City.
Well, Bristol City had a couple of chances late on as well.
Yeah.
and there was a wonderful save from the Bristol City keeper as well at 3-2, but it wasn't enough because it ended 3-all. Wonderful point for Sunderland, Chris Coleman.
Bristol City's goalkeeper is Fielding, isn't it? He used to play, I think he was linked with England. It was a really, really highly rated young goalkeeper, Frank Fielding.
Oh, of course, yeah. I do remember indeed. Right, let's go for a quick ad break, and then after which we'll talk very quickly about League One and then on to Going for Gold.
Muy rápido, muy, muy, like a Ferrari.
Before we go to League One, the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. Our man, Richard Simmons, is still in the chair and he's on for the first ever hat-trick and Ramble OBE.
Yeah, you are so close, Richard Simmons. Not that one. he picked out correctly Kane to score at any time in the North London Derby, raising £83.33, I think, for Prostate Cancer UK. Well, he's on for the hat-trick. Mm. Don't miss it on Thursday. It's going to be a belter. Mm. Could possibly be the first ever ORE hat-trick winner of the best bet with Bet365. Might even put a little piece of paper up on the studio wall for him. But don't get ahead of yourself, Richard. I'll be looking out for your email this week for a chance to be the first ever better to win a hat-trick.
Indeed, yeah.
There we go. What do you think? Can he do it? Can he do it?
I think we've got a big chance. He could be the first Order of the Ramble Empire.
What if he goes unbeaten the whole season?
Well, there you're talking.
Well, then he owns us.
Are we not talking? It's FA Cup next weekend, isn't it? I think it is.
Was it FA Cup?
So I think it's even harder for him.
Yeah, that is a tricky harder one. For him. Yeah, you don't want to... I think it's got legs.
It's got legs. It's got legs.
I think we've got a huge chance. I think we should talk about League One. Because Chris Powell's Southend beat top of the table Wigan 3-1.
This is a great start to time.
He's won his first three games in charge.
What a romantic kind of... They love him there.
I know.
He's doing incredibly well.
Is Phil Brown still technically on gardening league?
I don't know. Yeah.
Where's Phil Brown? If you've seen Phil Brown, get in touch. Show the footballroom.com.
Maybe seriously, he's on motorbike leave.
Do get in touch because he's a fascinating man.
Yeah.
I saw him...
painting under a bridge.
I saw him managing Southend at Gillingham earlier this season. Uh-huh. He's a fantastic man to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But I've not seen hide nor hair of him since he was placed on gardening leave. And unless he thinks he genuinely has to garden the whole time and that he can only be found in his own garden. I don't know where he is.
He's topless like that Aidan. Is it Aidan Turner? Paul Dark?
Yes.
He's just got a sigh in his hand. He's cutting it down.
I think Phil likes the sound of that.
Yeah. I think we all do. But yeah, Southend, 7 points above the drop zone now. Powell has had a great impact there. So we wish him all the best.
Wigan, Chris Powell. Wigan are head and shoulders the best team in League One.
Yeah.
They don't concede goals. So they've done very well. It's a fantastic result for them.
Very well indeed. Pompey, eh?
Oh, come on. Now you're
talking about comebacks.
Turn it around.
1-0 down with 6 minutes to go. Not as spectacular as Sunderland, but more fruitful because they got 3 points rather than one.
Did Sunderland get the win? No, they didn't.
That's it.
No further questions.
Could there be a South Coast derby in the Championship next season?
I hope so. That'd be great. I don't think Portsmouth will be promoted.
What do you think? Why are you winking at me?
No, I don't think they will.
Pompey in eighth.
They are, but...
Three points off the playoff.
If you'll afford me a little bit of time to talk about this, I think they've moved a lot of players on and they've brought a lot of players in on loan, which is a strange move to do in January when you're in the chance of promotion. So God knows why they've done that. But Luke McGee played very well for Portsmouth in goal, made some great saves, and it was only a week after he had been told he was going to be second choice because we brought a new goalkeeper in who I talked about last week, then actually got injured. He's now out for the rest of the season, so we're back to where we started. So full credit to Luke McGee for that. I think it might just evade us. I don't think we'll make it.
Praise for Luke McGee by Luke McGaw.
Exactly.
All right then, gentlemen. Well, it would be wonderful to see Pompey taking that extra step closer to the Premier League where they belong, eh?
Yeah, sounds good.
Where'd that come from?
Sounds good.
The weird part of my brain. Right,
we genuinely don't belong in the Premier League. But I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah, very much proven that. Yeah.
Ligue 1, fancy a bit of that?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Probably closer to that than the rest of them. So.
I'll take it.
Are we ready for Going for Gold?
I reckon so. When they're going for Lord. Thank you very much, Ben Cattell.
Okay.
For coming up with these, because I never really explained what glold means and how that actually came to fruition effectively.
Well, we started talking about funny goals as glolds.
Yeah, like own goals off the someone's arse.
An own goal.
Yeah, like a silly goal that went in off you know, a balloon.
A laugh out loud goal.
Yeah. When all the kids were saying lol.
Yeah.
So it's a pun on a pun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so going for glold, that's how we could. Because people have been sort of saying going for glold, which probably makes more sense. Never mind. Ben. Hello, Ben. Thank you, Ben, for these clues. Hello, Peter. Regular contributor with another round of clues.
Oh, right. So you basically outsourced it to him properly. Oh, is he like the Carillion of going for gold?
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
first clue. I was born in, I think it's Cassay or Cascais.
Can you spell it?
Cascais.
Cascais.
Cascais. Yep. Is that Cascais?
So it's Portuguese then.
Yeah.
A metropolitan suburb of my nation's capital.
Lisbon.
Today is my 39th birthday. Had Pete read this out when I originally sent it on the 18th of January.
Stop. João Pinto.
No.
Stop. Rui Costa.
No.
Stop. Sasa Churchill.
Lucy translated my name in English would be something like Paul Brass or Paul Brasserie.
Stop. Paolo Bento. No, he's way
Stop.
Too old.
Bento. No.
Paolo Fonseca.
No.
Stop Paulo Sousa.
No.
Oh, I thought you'd got it there, actually.
I won the Champions League twice.
Oh. Okay.
I've played under Mourinho twice.
Stop. Go on, you first, Jim.
You sure?
Yeah, you went first.
That was Jim.
Yeah.
Deco.
Incorrect.
He's Brazilian.
Stop.
Of course he is.
Thiago.
Incorrect.
Oh, I like him what we're doing one. Here. Yeah. Stop. Maniche.
Incorrect.
Is it Maniche? It was Maniche?
Yeah, no, Maniche.
He was a midfielder.
Yeah.
Go on, the next round. We haven't got guesses. Sorry.
Mourinho twice, Rafa Benitez and Carlo Ancelotti. They're the managers I played
Stop.
Under.
Stop. Paulo Ferreira.
It is Paulo Ferreira.
Yeah!
Oh, very Marcus good, Marcus. Oh, yeah.
I needed that. Needed
nice
that.
And easy.
After my last game of the season at home to Everton, during the end of season thanks and goodbyes, I was handed the microphone to say goodbye. A toddler of a teammate dribbled the ball into the net, causing the crowd to go crazy, so I missed my opportunity to say goodbye.
Oh.
Makes me really sad. He's won loads of stuff. Premier League titles twice, the UEFA Cup, 4 FA Cups, 3 Premier Leagues, 2 League Cups.
And a Partridge.
League in a pear tree.
Europa League in a pear tree. They'll probably play the Europa League in an actual pear tree at some point.
Indeed, yeah. Beautiful part of the world, Cascais.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
It's near Lisbon, right? Very touristy. Beautiful place.
He's had a fantastic career, no question.
No question about that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Round. It's been a ruddy pleasure. We'll see you, of course, for the preview show. Get out on Thursday, and don't forget, on the continent on Wednesday. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Luke Moore.
I hope you see another penis next week.
Yeah. Jim Campbell, thank you very much.
Edward.
Peter Donaldson.
I want to see two penises bashing against each other.
Yeah, Newcastle did beat them.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.